But we started this kind of conversation about this word enchantment. And it was funny because Isabel was like, this morning, hey, what are you talking about? Like our awe of God, God's awe of us, or wizardry? And I was like, or no, witchcraft. You said witchcraft. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly the way everybody's mind goes when they hear this word, right? And that's kind of what we were unpacking. Is just like last week we talked about, like, when's the last time you were dazzled? Like, what's the last time in your life that you were absolutely dazzled? Not even just by, like, the Lord, but, like, just in general, you know? And some of us, it was an easy, boom, here it was. And then others of us, it was just like, oh, frick, I still don't know. And I'm showing up this week of like, I still, you know, kind of thing, right? And I want to kind of kick off this, like, this conversation tonight of I'm not okay with just following Jesus anymore. And what I mean by that is, like, I'm not okay with just, like, going through the motions of it and just saying, yeah, here I am, and I'm going to Jesus kind of thing. But, like, then everything else not aligning with that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I guess for a while I've been kind of wrestling with this idea of, if I were in the Bible, if me personally, if Lex Martin was in the Bible, or if Ashton was in the Bible, or whoever, insert yourself, insert name here kind of thing. Yeah. No, but like, who would I be? Right? Who can I align with most? Some of us, it's, okay, Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm just joking. But others of us, how would I be represented if somebody were writing about me in Scripture? Not as me as the Jesus complex, but me as a disciple. You know, we give Peter a hard time because he's the fastest to talk. And he's the fastest to interact with the Lord, and fastest to put his foot in his mouth, fastest to chop off somebody's ear. Like all these kinds of things, who would I be? Have you ever thought of that? Who would you be if you inserted yourself into the story, into the Gospels, into the Old Testament? Who would you sound the most like? And I know this is probably a weird exercise of like, oh, Lex, we're not supposed to be comparing ourselves to other people. And like, yeah, I get that. But like, for the sake of like doing some internal inventory, I like to do this exercise. You know, like here's an example. Am I like Adam, a man who falls into sin and then hides? Do I resonate with that? Is that kind of like me? Or am I like Noah, you know? Feel like Noah would be a good one, you know? Like, am I like Noah, a man who walked with purpose, but then at the end of time he falls into sin, and you know, we don't know the rest? Or am I like Moses, a man who led people really, really well, got them to the gates of the promised land, and then was like, ah, shoot, I can't go in, right? That's like scary as a leader even to insert yourself into. You okay? Bummer.
Bummer.
Or am I like Jonah? Am I like Jonah, a man running from my purpose and running from my call? Or am I like Matthew, a man saved from a sinful life and sharing Jesus to everyone and anyone, but now following Jesus kind of thing, right? Am I like Judas, a follower, somebody who frequented Jesus, if I can use that term, but not submitted to his lordship 100%. Not submitted to actually who he is and ends up betraying when push comes to shove. Or am I like Ananias and Sapphira? Oh gosh, right? People may be well-intentioned from the get-go, but then they saw the check that came in from the sale of their land, and then everything changed, including the way they finished. If I can say it that way. Or am I like the apostles, a people who completely laid their lives down for Jesus and only saw life through a lens of Jesus, and only like that was their one narrative, that was their one goal, that was their one purpose, it was everything to them? Who am I, you know? How would my story look? if someone were to write about me, someone were to write about you, how would you be represented? How would you be represented in on Sunday versus Monday? How would you be represented on Saturday versus Tuesday? You get what I mean? How would you be represented? And am I willing to come to terms with the way that I would be represented? Am I willing to actually face those things in my life where it's just like, oh, frick. Maybe I am the good leader. Maybe I am the good person who's actually steering people towards Jesus, but I've got no business walking into the promised land myself, and I'm just doing a bunch of lip service. Maybe I am that guy. Oopsie daisy, right? Maybe not completely oopsie daisy. There was still good done. People still got to walk into that promised land kind of thing. But like, what happens when push comes to shove? You get what I'm talking about? Ever thought of it? No? Like, I don't really want to, Lex. Why'd you bring this up? Yeah. But when I don't know. And again, not for the sake of comparing myself, you know, I don't think that's good when we do that in a community like this of like, okay, well, at least I'm better than so and so, you know, like, I don't think that's healthy. But I think it is like, okay, going through that exercise and inviting that exercise into your life of just like, am I happy with the way this is panning out? If I zoom out on my life, am I okay with this? And then even more so asking myself, am I just following the things of Jesus around? Or is Jesus truly anointing me because of my frequency and my infatuation and enchantment with him? With me? Because I think oftentimes Jesus, the topic of Jesus, if I can even say it that way, loses his enchantment sometimes the more we're around him and the more Jesus is normal, right? At least that's been a testimony in my life of just like, I've been doing this Christianity thing for a long time. I've played the game. I've done it well, you know. I was the youth kid who was leading worship, but also having the time of my life in my flesh outside of church and playing the two-faced game where I was literally showing up some Sunday mornings absolutely pissed drunk from the night before and saying, cool, church, you ready to worship, right? And those two worlds have a difficult time colliding, right? They have a really hard time colliding. And when they do, when push does come to shove, it's like, oh man, I am a huge fraud. And maybe I am the issue with the American church. And that's my challenge. Because when Jesus loses his enchantment in our lives, this is the games we start playing, right? Obviously, I'm very different than I am now, or than I was, right? But there's still part of me that struggles. And I think there's part of you that still struggles. Because there's different people that intersect in our lives, and there's different conversations that we have to have. And it's, how do I bring Jesus into doing labor negotiations with my crews? You know? Where I'm trying to profit just as much as they're trying to profit. And how do I resonate? And how do I, right? How would Jesus do that? Right? That's not in scripture. Hey crew, I've got $30,000 on this, but I really actually just want to pay you $25,000 so that I can bonus. Right? Hey Jesus, where are you at on that conversation? Right? Do you get what I'm talking about? Maybe not yet, but yeah, I think when you're in a workplace, how do I come to terms with that? Okay. So am I just following the things of Jesus, unenchanted, or am I absolutely blown away by who he is, by what he's done? And especially we come out of this Easter season and we're just like, yeah, yeah, celebrate, 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 and then boom, all right, back to normal. It's like, what in the world? Like, he resurrected from the dead? What? Like, that's enchanting every single time I think of it, just because I can't wrap my head around it. Right? And it's so frustrating that I can't wrap my head around it. But it's so enchanting to me. Like, you went that far for me. You went that crazy for me. How could I not be enchanted by you? Right? And it's easy to say, oh, Lord, you're enchanted with me. And like, there is a side to that relationship. And I will never, I probably sound like I'm diminishing it to an extent right now, but like, I need to be enchanted with him first and foremost. And frankly, do I want to be? That's the question we're all faced with. Yes, do I want to be enchanted by a king? Do I want to be enchanted by a man? Do I actually want to be? Do I have any care? Or is Jesus just a cool thing now? And Jesus is trendy, right? Right? Or is it, oh my gosh, well, look at what you've done. Look at what your blood has done, Jesus. Look at what it's done. I'm sorry what we've done with it. Right? You get what I'm talking about? There was, I believe, two people, well, frankly, one person who really unlocked this. Of course, I can look at the apostles and say, wow, you got it. You got it. But I think it's hard sometimes for us to resonate with that just because they were face to face with Jesus, most of them, right? Most of them were face to face with Jesus, and we're just like, ugh, well, they've got a cheat code and I don't have that cheat code. Well, let me one up that mentality, okay? Because I'm not even going to talk about the apostles tonight, because again, we can't resonate with them very much. But who we can resonate with is David. David. And I think we kind of glass over this man of David that was a man after God's own heart. Yes? Like that was declared long, long before Jesus walked on the earth. Yes?
Yeah.
That was declared long before Holy Spirit descended and made it easy to be enchanted. Did you hear that? It was long before that. David unlocked something long before maybe even the way you're feeling today. You know? Maybe David and you have something in common where you're just like, this Holy Spirit thing doesn't make much sense to me. I don't feel his presence all the time. I struggle with it, kind of thing. Yeah? Or with him, sorry. Do you get what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And I think we can resonate and kind of, understand David a little bit more because it was so pre-Pentecost and it was so pre-Holy Spirit. You get what I mean? Right? It wasn't just these, oh my gosh, all of a sudden a shadow's hitting somebody and they're getting healed. It wasn't, here's a sweat rag and I'm throwing it at somebody, you know. That's what it was, that handkerchief. It's crazy. It was literally the sweat brow and then boom, healed. It was long before any of that stuff. But there was this enchantment that David had, right? There was this like, holy crap, kind of like moment of who God is, and that David, you know, it's wild. What David shows us is, I think, easier resonated with. Yes? Yes? You with me? But David said this, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. And think of that. What's he mean by that? It means a lot of different things. There's an engagement that he had to partake in. And there's an engagement that the Lord partook in. Yes? And no, this is not a communion message, okay? Even though I love communion messages. And it's not a table message, okay? Even though I love table messages. But what this is a David who I'll call, for the sake of an analogy, the cup. David is saying, I'm the cup. And what is in me is running over. Yes? Are you with me? So what am I talking about? It's talking about that David is positioning himself in such a way that he is allowing himself to be enchanted by the Lord and that it's actually bubbling up out of him and he can't hold it in him. You hearing me? There was this infatuation, this almost intoxication of who the Lord was and is in his life. And it was like, I can't help but talk about it. I can't help but have something run out of me and this happen, yes? Which is a beautiful, and if I was actually prepared, I'd probably have a cup and a pitcher, right? The cup representing what we're supposed to be, or David, and the pitcher representing the Lord, but that pitcher is very, very big, and it actually is limitless water, yes? And there's this picture of, okay, the Lord pouring and pouring this giant, massive pitcher that has no end, and it's bubbling up, and there's this positioning and this frequency and this enchantment with each other. Because I want you to know, and frankly, how many of you know, that enchantment, again, is a both and dance that we do with the Lord over and over and over. It's not just like, okay, I got saved. I'm enchanted once. Now I just only remember that one moment for the rest of my life. And that, no, I love remember. I do. But there has to be a re-enchantment over and over and over again. How many of you drink multiple glasses of water a day? It's because you need something. Yes? It's because you're dependent on that. You guys are. Mine's more coffee. Way it is? Get it? Yes? Okay. So I got to thinking, this might be, my cup runneth over, might be the best way to actually describe a person after God's own heart. Right? Someone set up to receive. Someone to set up to say, I want more. Someone set up that says, I see you as very, very important in my life, so therefore, let me drink of you. Yes? You hear me? Okay. So it's almost like, do I want that? Again, that's the question we're facing again. Do I actually want to be a person after God's own heart? Does that even interest me? Does that make me excited at all? Is that the way I wanted to be described if I were in the scriptures? Oh, please, right? That's how I want to be described. But Jesus talked about this all the time, you know, this old and new wineskin that takes place, the secret place that he went to. All of these different things. I only do what the Father does, and I only say what the Father speaks. Jesus did the same things, right? And he obviously was really infatuated with his Father, right? It wasn't just like, he's all right. He's a cool dude, right? Yeah. No, it wasn't like that kind of relationship. It was like, I literally am completely dependent on you, Father. Yes? I have nothing without you, Father. And I think this whole concept of enchantment actually can be funneled down to, am I humble enough to say that I need something bigger than myself? Am I humble enough to say that I need something bigger than me as a God? Right? All of us have created our own Godplexes of ourselves, whether we like it or not. Right? I mean, I have a career, I have a family, I can feel love from my wife and from my son, I have a career that I can trust in, therefore, all right, I've made a God complex called Lex, right? We've all done that, and you could tie that into a ministry too, of like, okay, my God complex is people show up, not many, but people show up to hear me talk, right? You know, you get what I mean? They're like, oh, hey, guess what? You hearing me talk tonight? You need me. I'm God, right? And that can be translated into easily a ministry context, right? And frankly, a lot of people search the ministry out so that they can have that. But we're not going to talk about that tonight. Main point of my message is, how do I get my enchantment? How do I get my intoxication with a king? How do I get myself to a place where my cup runs over? How do I become the type of person where my cup is running over? Because when you pour something into a cup and it runs over, the entire cup is affected, yes? It gets wet, yeah? Right? It does something. And especially if, like, you can use this illustration even of, like, okay, I've got a dirty outside of my cup, yes? And then, all right, there's a lot of us, most Christians, focus on the outside of the cup a lot, right? Image matters, right, babies? No. The inside work is where it matters, yes? So this actually unlocks, if I am filling myself in intimate relation with the Lord over and over and over and over again, guess what's going to actually take place? It's actually going to rinse off and cleanse my external. We try to do it the other way around. Are you hearing me? This cup runneth over is not only just an infatuation or an enchantment with the Lord, but it's also, I need to do an internal work so that, not vice versa. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Okay. Let me see where I'm at. Good question. I didn't write it down. Is it 23? Yeah, cool. Thanks. Thank you. So we had a flood in our basement a little bit ago. Okay? It was disgusting. And it was not a fun flood. It was a nasty flood. Okay? For whatever reason, it happened. Okay? It's really, really dirty. Really stinky. Really gross. Okay? So what we had to do was we had to take care of what was causing the flood. Yes? That made all of this gunk and junk saturate our basement. Right? Of course, that's the obvious solution in that context, right? I need to take care of the problem that is causing the flood. Right? Yeah. But a lot of us, what we do is, oh, I need to clean up the mess first, and then I'll take care of the problem. Right? Why am I bringing this up? Because that's backwards thinking. Because if I don't take care of what's causing the flood first, and I just keep on cleaning the mess and cleaning the mess and cleaning the mess, I am just in this insanity cycle, and I'm not going to go anywhere. Right? Instead, I should figure out, hey, how do I keep this crap from not flooding my basement? And how do I keep it where it's actually supposed to be going? Right? Are you getting what I'm talking about? Because, again, we do it backwards. We say, oh, I'm going to continue to clean my mess, and it's just keeping on flooding and keeping on flooding and keeping on flooding. And it's just like, well, it's going to continue to happen until the end of time. What this cup runneth over mentality actually is talking about is I need to focus on my internal world a whole lot more than what's happening on my external world, right? If I, frankly, let me be really, really honest. I can run out of sermons to preach if I'm not focusing on my internal world. Okay? I've been doing this for a long time. I've got hundreds and hundreds of messages that are all saved into this laptop. Okay? I can fool all of you. Be like, wow, he has so much content to share. Right? But that'll run out at some point. Right? Unless I am filling myself with more and more of the Lord. Because I can only tell you what the Lord is telling me. Or else I'm a buffoon and I'm fooling you. Yes? Okay, so I need to focus on what I'm filling myself with. Is this a message to say, hey, no more secular music? No, But if that's what the Holy Spirit's prompting you to do, great, chase after it. What I'm talking about is my intimacy and my enchantment with the Lord. Okay? And I need to say, Lord, I need more of you. I want more of you. I need more of you. I want more of you. I need to be intimate with you. I'm going to wait. I'm going to remain with you. I need to be saturated from the inside out. Yes? That's the essence of this cup runneth over. And I can only fill myself with the Lord. Hello? I can only fill myself with the Lord if I'm completely enchanted with him. Otherwise, I'm just finding content to talk about. And there's a huge difference of sharing content versus sharing what the Lord is actually doing in your life, right? Because I could preach this message just right here and not actually show any passion, and it'd be like super, you know, you'd be like, why is he talking about this? He's not even excited about it. Instead, it's like, I need an enchantment that is boiling over, and that's the only way I can feed you guys. That's the only way you might be able to say, hey, there's something that I want. Yes? There's something, not that I'm going to be a representation of it, but whoever this man Jesus that he's talking about, I want him. And I can't force you. Madison can't force you. Nikki can't force you. Reese can't force you. Bree can't force you. Benji can't force you. Nobody can force you, right? That's frankly spiritual manipulation if I try to force you. All I can do is say, look at how cool the Lord is. Look at how grandiose the Lord is. Come and behold the Lamb who has come to take away the sins of the world. Are you hearing me? This is enchantment. How do I worship out of enchantment? Well, it has to be something that's in me that's boiling out of me. Otherwise, I don't know this song. I can't sing it. And the freaking words aren't on the screen. Are you kidding me, church? Screw this. Right? The Lord. Do you get what I'm talking about? Right? Like, if I don't know a song, I'm finding other things to worship to. I don't care. Like, I'll sing different lyrics, I'll sing different things, and you'll be like, wow, this is a brand new song, and this guy's engaged. I don't care. Because there's something in me that is like, I've got to get this out. If you want a better prayer ministry, oh, guess what? You know what I'm about to say. I'm sorry, you have no thing to pray unless you are completely saturated with him. And then therefore something boils out of you and it's just like, oh, I can't hold this in. I actually believe that someone's going to get healed when I pray for it. Instead of, there's a lot of people in this line and it's an altar call, I'm not feeling it. Oh, Lord, if it's your will, just do it. All right, cool, get out of here. You know, like that's the Baptist in me. But what have I actually believed? Would I see more people healed? Ooh, I don't know. That's a slippery theological question, Lex. Yeah, I probably would see more people healed. Because I actually believe there's something in me that I have to get out. My worship's taken to a different level. My prayer life is taken to a different level. My everything, that was so weird. I thought the fire alarm was going off. Everything is taken to a different level. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I want to be intoxicated by him. Right? All these people are filled with new wine. Yeah, great. Give me it. Right? Like, give me some of it. I don't care. Like, it should change something on me. Right? Like I get a little bit more weepy maybe. I'm a little bit more attuned to what my emotions are. Of like, why am I feeling this way? Why am I so fired up about this? Why am I all of these things, right? It should change the way I talk, right? It should change the way I interact with people. It should change the way that I interact with my ministry and the way I interact with my church and all of these different things, and all of the arrows can be firing at me. But at the end of the day, hey, I'm intoxicated by a king. And what do I need to do with that? I need to get it out. And it's not just like, okay, cool, fill me up, and then great, it bubbles over just for a little bit. And then, all right, cool, I'll visit it next Sunday. It's not that. It's literally, dude, if I had like a hose, I'd literally have a hose, you know, just like, here we go. And I'm just, you know, and it's just filling and filling and filling and filling and overflowing and overflowing and overflowing. And you're just like, when's he going to shut the hose off? My feet are getting wet, kind of thing. And that's what it should be. That's what it should feel like. That's what it should be like when you're around a Christian who's enchanted with the Lord. It's like, I can't help but get that on me. Everything changes. My vision changes. The way I see the world and interact with the world changes. The way I talk, everything. I mean, it's very popular to go after revivals. Just like, oh, we need a revival, right? It's super popular. And it's like, that's cool. Like, I love revivals. I study revivals. I've got many leather-bound books about revivals, right? I love revival. I love it. Absolutely love it. Long for it, right? You know, I'm all for the Gen Z revival. I can't wait for it. But why isn't it happening? Because something in me isn't getting revived first. Or you're on an island and there's something revived in you and you're just like, man, what the heck is going on? And you don't find people to run with, you know? We say we want it, but it's like, eh, really? You know? Hey, focus on yourself, right? Where's the revival in you? When's the last time you were revived or awakened? Or just, again, when was the last time you were dazzled by God? Beyond a story, beyond anything, but just him, his character, his nature. That he is actually a good God, that he's not out to get me, that he's not waiting to smite me, that he's not waiting to zap me with a lightning bolt. He can. Fully acknowledge that he has every right to. But when's the last time just, wow, Lord, you are a good father. That's just your character. You know what I mean? Everything changes. Everything changes. Again, when there's that revival in you, when you're stirred up, when you can't help but bubble over and bubble over, and some people get annoyed by it. And just like, why are they still talking about Jesus? Instead, whoa. What do you have that I haven't grabbed? And how jaded am I to say, why are you talking about Jesus so much? You know? Like, shut up, turn it off. What? That's one of the things that I will really, 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 really protect. Is when somebody's enchanted and somebody tries to shut their enchantment off, right? I think of just like, I'm getting all emotional because I'm thinking of my son. I'm thinking of like Miller, and just like, he is dazzled by everything in life right now. Like, everything is like, what in the world? What? I can open the door? Dad, you're going to let me open the door? You know, like that. And like, I can't even like fathom what I would feel when my son says, Dad, I just met Jesus. Oh, dude. Like, one, that moment in me is like, what? all right, my entire world stops kind of thing. Like, finally, like, that's my boy, you know? Like, that's my boy. He's the one I've been praying for a very long time. And that's my boy that I've been interceding for a very, very long time. And he's met the King of Kings, you know? And then, oh, man, I'm, like, dreading middle school or, like, fifth grade or even, like, third grade now. It keeps on, like, keeps on moving up and moving up. And it's just like, if somebody gets in the way of his enchantment of the Lord, I'm going to lose my mind. And what kind of community do I want around my son? Right? It's, if I can speak so freely, it's literally the reason I shut down my house church. Was because I was afraid to raise my son up in an environment that was so toxic, that was so out of my grips anymore, even as the leader. And I was like, I can't have my son raised in a community like this. I need people that are championing him and saying, I want the best for you, you prophet. I want the best for you, you evangelist. I want the best for you, you whatever. And saying, how can I just pour into him and do that? You get what I'm talking about, right? Don't let anybody get in the way of your enchantment. No matter what community or culture or job that you're in, don't let anybody get in the way of your enchantment. Even if you have a glimpse of it, just like, oh man, that was a good taste. I need it. You get what I'm talking about tonight? Right? Who do I want being around my family? Who do I want? You know, sometimes I even get like so protective of like who's speaking into your guys' lives. Just like, oh man. Don't talk to so-and-so, you know, like, hey, stop talking to that person. Just listen to what Madison's saying. You know, she's enchanted. Listen to what Nikki's saying. You know, all these different people. You get what I'm talking about, right? Like, be careful. Be really, really careful. Don't let anybody squash your enchantment. Don't let anybody squash your intoxication of who God Almighty is. Right? Because we've all experienced that already. You have. And I'm sorry. I'm really sorry that you've experienced that. Because that sucks. It really does suck. Because I've heard stories of all of you, of who you once were. You know? But my goal is to get you back to be enchanted with who the King is. My goal is to get you absolutely infatuated with who the King is. Nothing to gain, nothing to prove. Just like, holy crap, you're a good God. You're holy and magnificent in all of your ways. You're a good Father. You're the most perfect provider. And when I don't feel provided for, you're the perfect provider. You are the healer. Even if I'm not seeing it, you are. You are. You are who you say you are. And I love that about him. You with me? Because when we leave waterless places in our lives, like Matthew 12 talks about. You can read it on your own time. There's that passage in Matthew 12 where a person gets their innards cleaned up, but they don't they don't refill the place, right? They don't refill the place with what it's supposed to be filled with. And then that enemy comes back 7 times stronger, right? And we've experienced that too. I sure have. Oh my goodness. I sure have. Right? I'm not calling you demon-possessed. Relax. Others can do that, and I'm not going to do that, okay? I'm here to call out the best in you. But what happens to waterless places? In that passage, it says waterless places were never filled back with water, so therefore the enemy came back. right? The essence of a cup running over is that there's no more waterless places. Right? There's nothing, there's no space left. There's this washing and washing and washing and washing and washing that takes place, and filling and filling and filling that takes place constantly. You get it? This is the essence of living for Jesus and be enchanted by him. This is the, I don't know, I guess the point of where we need to get is, I want that kind of life. I want that kind of lifestyle. I want what it means to have a cup that runs over. Doesn't make much sense maybe now, but I want it. Right? Maybe you've never even tasted a full cup. And that's okay. That's all right. But you knew how to fill it at one point. You knew how to at least get that drop in there. That's why you're in the room. So what do you need to do? Intimate relationship with a king who wants intimate relationship with you. Think of it. He says, you're worth my time. Or, I take you seriously, is what he's saying. Now it's just time for us to hold up our end. Yes? The more and more we live a life of repentance is the essence of us getting filled and filled and filled and running over, right? It's beautiful, right? This word repentance isn't not a very popular term, but it should be the most popular term in a Christian walk of just like, I'm literally turning from that. I don't want anything to do with that. So therefore, I need to change everything about that area of my life and go the opposite direction. Guess what that is? That's clearing the place, just like Matthew 12 talks about. Now it's your job to continue to walk and walk and walk and walk and walk towards him. Right? Because then the water is filling that place and your cup continues to runneth over. You hear me? This makes sense. I really want people who want the Lord. Don't do it for me, but this is what I'm seeking. I'm seeking people to run with. I'm seeking people to move mountains with. I'm seeking people that actually, you know, want to see their friends come to the Lord and want to see their families come back to the Lord and want to see their workplaces change. I want those types of people. Those are the people that I want to run with, that I want to lock arms with, that I want to, you know, I want to contend with, that I want to worship alongside, because they're not focused on me. You know, they're not focused on what I'm looking like or what I'm sounding like. They're just infatuated with the king. Right? I hope you want to be enchanted again. My hope for you is that you are enchanted with the king. That you are absolutely obsessed with him. That the new wine that Acts talks about, that you want a drink of it over and over and over again. Cool? Can I pray for you guys? If you, no, unless you don't want to, you don't have to engage with this. I don't care. Doesn't affect my prayer. But I want to pray for you. And if you want this enchantment of the Lord, I just want to give Holy Spirit space. Not by any cute words that I said, but by literally him. Because that's the only thing that will actually enchant you. Yes, my relationship with the Lord will not enchant you because it's mine. Right? But it's, I don't know, I want him to say hi. That's all I want him to say. Cool? So if you want this, just hold your hands out in the act of receiving, and I'm not going to look. So Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you re-enchant us tonight? You reintroduce us to the King of Kings with nail-pierced hands. Lord, you are the lovely one. You are the wonderful one. You are the one who sees and the one who knows. You're the beautiful one. You're the worthy one. You're the one who provides. You're the one who gives, and you're the one who takes. You're the one who heals. So, Lord, I just pray that we give you opportunity to reintroduce yourself tonight. Whether it's in this room, whether it's on our drive home, whether it's once we get into our beds, whatever it is, whatever, however you see fit, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that you would make it intimate and specific to every single heart in this room. That we would hold the cup up so that you can pour. That it would set you up to reveal yourself in a beautiful, beautiful way. Lord, we just make space for you. Tonight, tomorrow, would you just remind us of your goodness, remind us of your beauty, and enchant us. Lord, we love you. I give myself away. In Jesus' name, amen.